Call this council in budget committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call.
Your Worship, all members of council are present.
Thank you. There are no announcements, no addenda. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? Being none, I'm going to transfer the chair then to Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Welcome guests, media, those listening at home coast to coast, and members of the Insomniacs International Club. We're going to start out tonight with a presentation from Mr. Jansen, Director of Corporate Services. Following that, we will have the opportunity to ask questions of the presentation. After that, I'll ask for someone to report CBC 01-2017 on the floor. We'll allow questions on that report, and then we will go into a page-by-page question opportunity for the worksheets contained therein, and hopefully wrap up with the recommendations on our agenda. So I will turn the floor over to Mr. Jansen for his presentation.
Thank you, Chair, and welcome to Budget 2017. Here's an overview of what we'll be looking at tonight. For tonight's presentation, we'll be looking at the budget timetable, then discuss some of the budget drivers, the highlights of some of the individual projects that we'll be looking at tonight, a review of some of the unknown factors or risks and opportunities. We'll then open it up for any questions of the presentation or the report itself, and then review the individual project worksheets. So tonight, as I said, kicks off the first meeting where we look at the capital, and similar to prior years, we'll be splitting the capital budget for the approval half in terms of what when the bylaw gets passed into two parts. Part one is in Appendix 1, and those are items that currently have funding in place and are ready to go in terms of the reserve levels. And then Part 2, so that's on December 5th. Part 2 is then approved in connection with the general levy budget at the bottom of the chart there on February 27th. After tonight, in 3 weeks as well, we'll be looking at the water and wastewater budget and user fee report, followed by the library and EDTC budgets on January 11th, and the general levy budget and assessment analysis report on January 25th and February 1st. At the highest level, the asset management plan is the tool that we've been talking about in recent years that integrates all the servicing plans into one consolidated plan. The plan was produced by Associated Engineering and looked at core infrastructure of roads, bridges, water, and wastewater, and was approved by Council in 2015. We've discussed updating the plan with particularly with the various upcoming master plans that are due to be completed in 2017, and expect to use that to refine the plan itself, and as well to refine the financing strategy that the council currently relies on. The AMP or the asset management plan is a requirement by the province for various grant funding, as we've seen in recent applications, and it really does serve to identify all the long-term capital requirements of the town. The current financing strategy, as council is aware, is a 2.5% levy, approximately, that we've followed over the last number of years. It was adopted for the years 2013 to 2018, and we've used in most years $500,000 as the round figure to represent that. Council also has a reserve policy and targets that have been set to fund the minimum amounts, which would be at a minimum the amortization on various capital assets, but then ultimately with the increase in funding, the goal is to move towards full funding for a full life cycle replacement of assets. The asset plan priorities for budget and forecast periods are guided primarily by studies and plans. The master servicing plans are the primary source for replacing and rehabilitating our existing assets. And the development charges study, last done in 2014 and done every 5 years, is what guides new or growth assets. This is a chart that shows some of the key master plans and when they've most recently been completed, as well as when they're scheduled to next be revised. You can see that some are done more often than others. For example, the road system is reviewed pretty much annually, and our bridges are reassessed biannually. And the AMP is, as I mentioned, what is used to identify the funding gap. This was previously, with the early stages of the AMP, identified at $5 million per year. However, in recent reports, most notably this last year with the bridge reassessment study, it's shown that number is larger and will be updated with the master plan updates this coming year. Through the 2016 budget, council approved base contributions to capital by $800,000 a year. That was a significant accomplishment last year. And this year's 2017 budget will consider, again, returning to the $500,000 level in relation to the asset management plan needs. Given this gap, we continue to budget capital based on what the town can afford rather than what's required. And it's worth noting that over time, without these kinds of increases, the town will have difficulty in maintaining or improving service levels of the existing assets. For this year's actual 2017 capital budget, this graph shows the breakdown of the costs by different area. There are 63 projects proposed that totals just over $16.2 million. Just to note that all amounts when we compile the budget include the non-rebated portion of the HST, so it's the amount the town pays in net, the net amount the town pays for these works. The largest share, consistent with prior years, is the Infrastructure Services Department, with roads and bridges taking over one-third of the budget this year. And if you combine all infrastructure services, the total with storms and drains, water and wastewater, and linear infrastructure represents 86% of the budget. And the other areas, facilities, fleet, corporate and community services, which includes IT and office equipment, open space planning, fire, those combine for the remaining amounts. This shows the financing sources for that $16.2 million of capital works. The primary source is reserves, which provides 75%. This is the amount that's raised through the general levy and is transferred to the reserves as a form of long-term savings. Most of the emphasis on funding the gap, particularly even most recently with the Association of Municipalities of Ontario, letter that came forward to council notes the need, the emphasis on reserves and using that as the most reliable form of funding assets. The remaining source is from 15% of grants, federal gas taxes of 6%, development charges at 3%, and 1% of other. There's no debenture or debt proposed for 2017. So most of the budget is for the replacement or rehabilitation of existing assets at 94%. These assets will, of course, be discussed later with regard to the capital asset worksheets included in your binder, but these are just some of the highlights worth noting. The largest is the $3.78 million for Highland Avenue reconstruction. In addition to the funding that's been applied to this in the capital worksheet, it's also worth noting that the Ontario Community Infrastructure Fund top-up program has been applied to for this particular work in an amount of $816,000, which would offset the town's reserve contributions if successful. $1.3 million is included for bridge and culvert replacement. This, again, is an accelerated focus based on critical works identified in the report presented to council in April of this last year. $1.1 million or $1.17 million is for recurring roads, is for the Murray Street sanitary sewer replacement, $1.1 million for recurring roads rehabilitation. This 17 amount is an increase from last year's $850,000 and is certainly a general increase from a low that we had a few years ago of $400,000. And the long-term forecasting for roads is $1.2 million over the next 10 years per year. $675,000 is for the Bay Beach Master Plan implementation, and $450,000, similar with previous years, for water meter replacement. So that's for what we currently own. 6% of this year's budget is for new or growth assets. The largest here is for transit bus stop and facility improvements of $317,000. $200,000 for the QEW gateway feature that was discussed recently by council. $180,000 for Green Acres Drive upgrades for the storm components, which has been driven by development, and $265,000 of other additions such as park enhancements and some building division equipment and vehicle. So just to expand on the financing side of the 75% from reserves noted in the earlier graph, this is funded both from the general levy as well from the water and wastewater rates. So there you'll see the two columns for that for the last number of years. From 2013, when the strategy was first implemented, up until last year, the total increases for the levy have been $2.1 million. And there again, you see the 17 proposal of $500,000, which if approved would be a levy impact of 2% to the average taxpayer. As well, we get into these as well later, but the operating impacts of approving the new capital in this budget would impact the levy by 0.28%. And you see as well for the water and wastewater, total approved in the last number of years is $850,000, with an additional $150,000 being considered for this year's water and wastewater budget on December 7th, which would have an impact on rates of 0.87%. Grant funding of 15% has been included for confirmed sources or where applications are pending approval in 17, but considered likely at this point. The submission was made to the Clean Water and Wastewater Fund, or CWWF, for the town's maximum eligible amount of $1.72 million for the Highland Project. This project or program is not a competitive process, but rather based on conforming to program guidelines, and so it's therefore been included in the budget this year. The town is receiving Ontario Community Infrastructure Funding, or OCIF, formula-based funding of $489,000, which has increased from last year's $272,000, which is being applied to the water costs of the Highland Avenue project. Funding through the Public Transit Infrastructure Fund has been confirmed at $149,000 for the bus stops. In addition to that, $17,000 has been communicated from the Niagara region through the Public Realm Investment Program for additional bus stops. The implementation of the Bay Beach Master Plan is a multi-year project that includes total application of funding of $850,000 for the Bay Beach Master Plan, which was, of course, noted as well Monday night. And as well, just as noted, there are no debentures planned for this year. The town's total debt charges are less than 5% of our total town revenue, which is a provincial measure and puts us at low risk with overall financial measures. You hear the remaining amount, 6% from gas tax funding. The town receives approximately $910,000 per year, and $1 million is being used in 2017 for bridges. That amount is due to increase, thankfully, but in 2018 slightly, and has been relied upon for future years. 3% relates to development charges at $493,000, and contributes to growth-related projects only. This funding is based on projects, again, from the DC study. The remaining 1% is from external sources, such as $77,000 through drainage work recoveries. And this amount is refined as the work is completed and engineering reports are finalized. This graph shows the 10-year or the current plus 10-year spending pattern for the forecast period. Spending does, of course, shift from year to year based on the timing of various projects, but averages just over $11 million per year. So as noted, the budget is in two parts. The preliminary, all capital projects are being considered tonight, but those noted in Appendix 1 are subject to preliminary approval because there's existing funding in the related reserves. That totals $2.137 million, and the general approval would follow in connection with the general levy bylaw on February 27th. And that's the bulk of the remaining projects at $14.1 million. So just to highlight some of the unknown factors or variables that may impact the capital budget, some projects, of course, have grant funding that's been discussed that is approved, but some also require final approval to proceed. Details are yet to be determined for some projects as they proceed through the planning and design process. For example, the Bay Beach Master Plan project has funding in place but may be changed depending on capital and operating plans that unfold. Land sales were included earlier as part of the funding and yet may be a future factor with the project. The capital project worksheets in your package contain a corresponding impact on the operating budget in Appendix 3. The total impact of the proposed projects is $69,000 per year, or 0.28% of the levy. And this will need to be considered in January when we're looking at the general levy budget and should be kept in mind tonight when approving those projects. This includes areas such as materials and supplies, wages, and amortization for the full life cycle replacement of those assets. Parks program relies on some estimates for cash in lieu of park land, which is contributions from developers, and that's been included as an estimate. As well, again, the asset management plan and underlying master plans, such as the bridge and culvert assessment, continue to reveal the risk of underfunding infrastructure gap, which translates into a weakening condition potentially of town assets. Some opportunities to highlight, again, on the grant side, there's been a number of programs that have been announced in 2016, and if successful, these have the potential to change some of the funding sources for projects being submitted. Staff continue to monitor these programs, and recently we created a grants oversight team to consolidate our efforts and to look at them more holistically as these opportunities arise. Adopting a preliminary budget, as noted earlier, enhances procurement interest due to purchasing cycles, and we can expect more competitive bids in relation to most of those and can assist, therefore, in minimizing costs. And on the opportunity side as well for operating budget impacts, various projects may result in operating efficiencies and related operating cost reductions due to newer technology, for example. That's it for my presentation, so I'll hand it back to Councillor Becerro.
Thank you, Mr. Jansen. Every year the opportunity slides are only one slide, so we need to improve on that. Comments or questions from members of Council regarding the presentation itself? Mayor Redekamp?
If
if I might, just a couple of questions. First one related to slide 12 and the levy rate percent impact. That's the levy rate percent impact with respect to the $500,000 additional money to be allocated to reserves.
Yes.
And that $500,000 is going to be, we're going to be putting that $500,000 in even if we get other sources of revenue that can assist us with our reserve.
Yeah, that is the council strategy from
right.
the past.
Yep. And there are some, I noticed in some of the documentation, maybe the reserve sheets that we'll be getting to, there didn't seem to be an accounting with respect to some of the grants that we expect to receive or some of the grants that accounted for in the project sheets because they've just been applied. That would boost the reserves even higher, would it not?
You're right, that would be a one-time boost to reserves. The example, the best example there is the $816,000 for the OSIF top-up program.
Right. And then if we could go to slide 15. I noticed this fluctuation as well when I was looking at the capital spending forecast sheets in our binder. And you did mention that some of this fluctuation is due to the various projects that might arise from time to time, but wouldn't it be easier for budgetary purposes if this was more consistent as opposed to up, down, up, up, down?
Yes, you're probably right. There are a number of factors that go into this, most notably the master plans, depending on when certain assets on paper at times are due to reach the end of their life may be a factor in determining what goes into each year. But as the years near or as we get closer to each year, there does tend to be a smoothing of some of those.
Right. And does this have, I guess if I might, and I don't, maybe this isn't the appropriate time, but if it isn't and it's to be dealt with when we get to the report, that'd be fine too. I'm just wondering about the status of projects that we have approved through the budgetary process. Haven't started yet. Do we have information on that could be made available to councillors?
Yes, we twice annually provide a capital variance report. But that's the report that actually closes certain projects and returns them to reserves if there's a surplus or looks for alternate funding if there's in a deficit. But with our second quarter report that council would have received, I think, in August, there is a comment in that report as well on the status of all projects. And if there's any that have, I believe the budget policy is anything that's that has not had any activity in 2 years, particularly gets commented on.
Great. Is it possible to get some of that?
Yeah, I can look up that report and provide that.
Is it possible we can get that information? So I just wanted to go just dwell with this for a moment, if I might, because I note that looking at what's in tab 6, which is the capital budget and 10-year forecast, there are actually years where it's projected that there won't be any wastewater projects. I'm looking at the very first page in tab 6. It looks to me like in 2021 there won't be any projects, and the year before that there's only 27,000. Am I?
And 147 the year after, and 2 years later only 30.
Yeah, and am I misunderstanding that?
Mr. Jansen, is that because we're saving up in those off years for larger projects and those smaller amounts have to do with design related, or are those smaller amounts actually wastewater water projects?
It's hard to tell in some instances because we do have multi-component projects, and I'm just trying to see if that report may in some way exclude those. But I think you're right. No, I think there is a gap that year in projects, and that's something perhaps that infrastructure services can speak to more.
I'm just wondering whether there wouldn't be some wisdom in trying to allocate more money to years where we're low in the capital spending, so that we can do projects, maybe accelerate some projects, kind of even that fluctuation out a bit. I don't know whether that's possible. I don't know whether the reasons for it being the way it is are such that better to do it this way, but I would have thought that it would be easier to manage if there was at least some known envelope size from which projects could be done, because we know that there's an infrastructure gap, we know that there's work that needs to be done, and we know that if we don't have enough money, that means that we're probably not doing all the projects that we could do if we had the money. So those were just my observations, and maybe there's something that should be changed, maybe not. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Walsh, did you want to comment on that?
Sure. Without having the detailed 10-year forecast in front of me, I find it hard to offer a constructive comment. It is puzzling because, in my recollection, we do have all components of all projects in every year. So it seems odd that it's not showing up there. If I may make a comment on the up and down variance in the capital spending forecast, you look at 2017, we've got a very high capital budget this year, mostly infrastructure. It's due to two factors primarily. One is a big bridge project, and the other is the incremental nature of some of our infrastructure projects, our traditional infrastructure, in that they had to be brought forward from 2018, 2019 in order to qualify for example, the clean water and wastewater funding. I know in 2019 we have another couple of high price tag bridge projects. So that would account for some of the variance in that you have to cut spending in 1 year to spend more money the next year.
I thought I was done. If I could just comment
absolutely.
On that. It seems to me, and that's correct, we've moved forward five projects in order to be in a position to apply for provincial and federal funding. I don't think there's any likelihood that the provincial and federal governments are not going to continue some type of assistance to municipalities, because the infrastructure gap applies right across the country to every municipality. And so I would like to think that we're going to be in a position from year to year to at least have some projects that we can move forward. So, you know, it may be that even if we've got them designed, they're at least ready to go, and we may have to account for that in the budget. But I see the upper levels of government assisting municipalities, because otherwise the tax increases that we would be obligated to intolerable to the residents.
Mr. Walsh, we continue to design as many projects as we possibly can on an annual basis to get those on the shelf and shovel ready should additional dollars come down the pipe.
That is correct. We have, as you note in the budget here, we have three construction projects that are advanced. We still have two projects in the design phase that were advanced. As we've moved three projects to construction phase, you can expect that next year we'll probably be coming in July again with another bit of a wish list to advance more projects.
Thank you. And based on the Mayor's previous comments, going into our water, wastewater budget, could we get a more detailed look at that 10-year capital plan to see how that all fits together?
Certainly.
Thank you. Mr. Jansen?
Yeah, one other comment on that graph as well is to say that as projects are advanced in the earlier years, we do have some of our own contributions exhausting our reserves, in some cases in the medium term. So that's why at times you'll see throttling of the project program there as well. We don't rely on any non-approved or bylaw-approved capital financing. So even though, for example, we're proposing $500,000 in 2017 be added, none of this program relies on any increases to that funding.
Mayor?
I was going to give up the floor, but I did want to say that I appreciate the work that Mr. Jansen and all of the staff have done on this. I think they've put together a very good budget, and I agree with virtually all of the recommendations that have been made. I have a couple of questions that I'll raise as we go through this, but I want to congratulate you for putting together, you and your staff, putting together a very good presentation and a budget report.
Other members of council, questions specific to the presentation? No. Mr. Jansen, you noted that we are not looking at debenture financing for anything in 2017. Is there a reason why we aren't, given the rates where they are now and the municipal advantage of getting a locked-in interest rate? Would we ever consider doing that to advance some of these projects?
In theory, the town prefers to reserve debt for new capital. In that way, you're assigning the costs to those who actually benefit from the assets as well. So, you know, there have at times been exceptions for specific reasons to that. But in the case of the new capital this year, in particular, for example, the bus stops at $317,000, over half, I think about 60% of that is funded from grants. So those have a good source of other funding such that debt wasn't needed. But we do consider that, and just this year there was nothing of significant scale that we considered for using debt.
Okay. Thank you for that. So that will conclude the presentation portion. I would ask for someone to move report CBC 01 2017. Thank you, Councillor Zanko. So that report's now on the floor, and I'd entertain questions or comments regarding the report itself as far as what's contained, and once we exhaust that, we will move into the capital worksheets. Any comments or questions regarding the information in the report? Seeing no hands flailing in the air, we'll go right into the capital worksheets. We'll start with page number 4. I think that it worked well last year, just going through item by item. We'll tackle it in that regard. And please note, as Mr. Jansen mentioned, any operating costs are noted on the individual worksheets. So if there's something we're approving tonight that will have an ongoing cost built in, that will be noted, as well as whether or not the item is being paid for in its entirety this year, or if we're just merely making a contribution in 2017, and also noted is the funding source. Having said that, we'll go right into page 4 and 5, which is audio and video for room number 1. Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Chair. Through you to Mr. Jansen. My question isn't particularly to this item, but just a follow-up to an item that we passed for budget last year with respect to the audio equipment in council. Where do we stand with that?
Mr. Davis?
Sure. Why not?
I think that answered all of our questions right there.
Good play. Yeah, we've received the additional funding to move forward. We're working with a vendor right now to bring back a report in terms of budgeting to help us put out an RFP. And I was just speaking with that. That should come in next week. We'll review that and put that out to accordance with our purchasing policy.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Ms. Butler, anything further? Further comments or questions? Seeing none, page 6 and 7, 2017 photocopier replacements. Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Chair Passero. Through you to Mr. Jansen. Mr. Jansen, how many photocopiers do we have?
Mr. Davis.
Building, we have large formats, so I'll just kind of back up a little bit. What we try to do is centralize one photocopier per division and infill those with smaller. We're trying to force each of our departments to use a single machine on each desktop. That's something So in this building, we have 5 large formats, so 2 and 1 in the basement.
Councilor Butler.
Thank you. And last year, I believe that we did approve a budget to replace a photocopier. So how many more are you looking at replacing in the near future?
Mr. Davis?
What we try to do is do a yearly cycle. So each year we put forward a new capital item for a photocopier. So we don't replace 1, possibly 2 a year, depending on the range.
And one final question, please. Is there a better buying power if you are looking at all equipment at the same time?
Possibly. What we've tried to do in this method is to balance the budget so it's flat. We're not getting a hit every 5th year or 6th year. We do get pretty aggressive pricing as we can go out to the market.
So you continue to get better pricing anyway, regardless of whether you buy all 5 machines, for example, at one time, or you do it on an annual basis, knowing that the supplier understands that you're going to come back on an annual basis?
I would say yes. We get pretty aggressive pricing. Whenever we do go out, at least at this stage, pricing on a new copier, I always get 3 quotes in to keep everybody. Now we're a Xerox shop, but we're intending to go out to the public or go out to the market next year to look at what vendors are out there and try to get better pricing.
One final question. And do you find it's better to purchase straight out or to lease the machine?
Had that discussion before. As a town, we've never really favored a leasing process. It doesn't mean that we couldn't look at it when we go back to the market next year. I'd have to talk to Mr. Jansen and see.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Butler. Other comments or questions on that item? Seeing none, IT computer hardware, pages 8 and 9. No questions there. Building inspection tablets, page 10 and 11. No hands in the air there. Server and core infrastructure replacement, pages 12 and 13. Steam engine repair, pages 14 and 15. Moving on to planning and development services, and we have Ms. Hansen available to answer any questions. Albert Street Park playground replacement, pages 16 and 17. Albert Street Park Master Plan, pages 18 through 21. Councilor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just curious as to why we're looking at equipment on the last on pages 16 and 17, and then we're looking at Master Plan on 18 and 19. Would we not wait to the master plan before we go with new equipment? I'm just curious.
Ms. Hansen?
Sure. Through you, Mr. Chair. We do identify the playground equipment in Albert Street Park does require replacement for a variety of reasons. So we have identified, I believe, on the master plan sheet that our intent is to undertake the master plan in the first half of the year and then look at replacing the playground equipment in the second half of the year. So we believe we can get them both done in 2017.
Okay, thank you.
But the master plan will precede the playground equipment.
Thank you, Councilor Luberts. Other comments or questions? Bay Beach implementation, pages 22 and 23. Crystal Ridge Park improvements, pages 24 and 25. Douglas Park Master Plan and Playground, pages 26 through 29. Mayor Redekop.
Just had a question about whether when we're doing these playgrounds, I noticed someplace in here that we look at potential partnerships, look at possible community partners, and this park is adjacent to a elementary school formerly known as General Vanier, and I wonder if we haven't, I still refer to it as General Vanier, I'm wondering if we've had any discussions with the school board, because I would think that they could utilize and possibly do utilize this park.
I know that we will have discussions going forward, and this was a topic of conversation during the accommodation review, that if we were choosing General Vanier then as the site to consolidate the three schools, that there were opportunities for partnerships in that playground. So it is something that is on the radar screen, and I imagine that Ms. Hansen will go forward if this is approved tonight and carry on those conversations.
Through you, Mr. Chair, we will certainly, as part of the consultation, speak with the school. And there are now, through the Planning Act, which regulates the use of some of the funds that go into park development, requirements to consult with school boards. So we will be doing that through this process and try to find some way to partner in improving that park.
And as we go through the process here, as an example, if we were able to get funding to assist with the cost of this park, once we've approved it through the budget surplus at the end of the project, presumably, and we typically then would reallocate those funds to the specific reserve from which those would have come had we required them. Is that correct?
Mr. Jansen?
Yeah, through you, Chair. We do have specific guidelines we follow. It depends on the amount. If it's over $25,000 and it's expanding the scope of the project, then we would come back to council to seek permission. But if it was within the existing scope, then we do have the ability through the variances to accommodate those kinds of funding changes.
So that's correct. The other possibility, we would
expand
the scope of the park. Thank you.
And probably contingent upon what the wishes of the donor would be as well. Neighborhood park enhancements, pages 30 through 32. Waverly Beach Park boardwalk replacement, pages 33 through 35. Councilor Liberts.
Yes, once again, just out of curiosity, when we're looking at Waverly Beach, is it just the park that we're looking at, or are we also looking at the beach, and more particular the algae that's down there? Are we going to try to implement, when we have a park along our lakeshore, that we're going to include beach and algae removal and maybe some mitigation to get rid of algae?
This project is specific to the boardwalk, but what is our plan going forward, Ms. Hansen, for the overall design of Waverly, and how does that relate to our waterfront strategy?
Well, through you, Mr. Chair, I believe that the waterfront strategy is looking at Waverly Beach as a mini master plan site. Is that correct?
Yes.
So I believe something will come out of that will provide some guidance in terms of long-term changes in development with respect to control of the LJ. Maybe Mr. Walsh could speak to that, but that isn't contemplated within this capital request.
Yeah, I understand that there, but I'm just wondering, moving forward, if it's going to be our policy that if we have a park on the waterfront, when I'm looking at this, I'm seeing Waverly Beach Park, and then we're talking about the boardwalk, obviously, but when we have something on waterfront, especially with a beach, are we going to be including the beach in the future as part of the park, or is it going to be the park is here and the beach is there, and we'll work on the beach on something separate?
Ms. Hansen?
Through you, Mr. Chair. I think in all cases like this, Bay Beach is an example, we do consider the beach as part of the park. It's part of the overall open space facility.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Liberts. Seeing nothing further, we'll go into fire and emergency services. Thank you, Ms. Hansen. Replacement of bunker gear, pages 36 and 37. Councilor Liberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question. Are we still working with other municipalities to get the better bang on our buck? I know we were working with Port Colborne in the past. Are we still doing that?
Chief Coughlin?
Through you, Chair, to Councilor Liberts. The previous RFP was a multi-year agreement, and it has expired as of this year, but we will be having that partnership again. I believe there was four or five municipalities that took advantage of it, and we saved approximately $300 of that.
Councilor Liberts? Okay, thank you. Fire stations computer upgrades, 38 and 39. Mayor Redekop?
Mr. Chair, I wonder if we could just get a clarification on this. So it's $10,000, Each station is going to have 3 desktop computers. They're $700 each. That would be $2,100 times 5 would be $10,500. We need an extra $500.
Chief Coughlin?
Through you, Chair. No, the cost of the computers is between around $650 to $700, but we will come in around the $10,000 range.
And if not, you'll be taking the hat around, I suppose. Thank you.
The boot.
The boot.
Take
yes.
The boot around. Nothing further there. Station fitness equipment, 40 through 42. Mayor Redekop?
I think this is an excellent idea, and I can imagine that the volunteers are very, very supportive of this. Just curious about whether all of the stations can actually accommodate the equipment.
Chief Coughlin?
Through you, Chair, to your worship. The answer is no. A couple of the stations would have difficulty accommodating the equipment, hence the reason we're spreading it out over a number of years, looking at our upcoming review, and we will target the stations that can accommodate it first.
Thank you.
And I don't know what that picture is on page 42. I've never seen one of those. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Chair, to Mr. Jansen or Mr. Copeland, whoever chooses. Looking at purchasing this equipment, I understand that the firefighters are interested in maintaining their fitness, but wouldn't it be just cheaper to negotiate a favorable rate for our firefighters in a group-style discount at one of the gyms that we could maybe get a 50% off or something? If we're going to invest $25,000 a year, I'm sure that we could cut that cost down if we work out some negotiations with one of the local gyms. Then it also gives business to a local business.
Chief Coughlin?
We have considered that. The one issue that we have is that we would have to negotiate with gyms all over the town, and some areas don't have them. Part of the issue is having the equipment at the station so the firefighters can be at the station, and if there is an issue, they can leave and attend fire calls rather than having to travel back and forth across town. Because they live in the area of the fire station, it's very convenient for the firefighters to attend the station.
Councilor Nutt?
Just a follow-up question. Didn't you just say that not all fire stations are going to be able to accommodate the gym equipment, so wouldn't they have to drive to another station to use the equipment?
Chief Coughlin?
Yeah, because currently the stations have some minimal equipment that they've purchased on their own. In the longer run, yes, all stations will be able to accommodate those. Once we do our fire station need study, new stations will be designed with an appropriate room within them. So they will have to. And for example, Station 4 and 6, Crystal Beach and Ridgeway, maybe one of those stations will get equipment in the interim, and firefighters can use it until we have a more appropriate solution.
Thank you, Chief. Councilor Nutt? Okay, thank you. Mobile data terminals, car 1 and 2, pages 43 through 45. Update volunteer firefighter pagers, 46 and 47. Mayor Redekop?
Mr. Chair, would this be affected by any change in the dispatch system? In other words, there has been some talk about uniting the fire, police, ambulance, the whole gamut. Would this have an impact on these purchases?
Chief Coughlin, where does that stand? I know that we had a presentation earlier in the year and Councillor Butler chased them out.
Yeah, the issue keeps coming back. There are some municipalities that do have radio system issues and would like to upgrade, and they may do that. However, there are other municipalities like ourselves whose system works very well. It's very affordable. And we've basically said, no, we do not want to upgrade. We may end up getting dragged in, kicking and streaming a few years down the road, but right now, no. And the second part of your question, Your Worship, the pagers, it's an analog paging system, and even if we go to this digital radio system, we will still be required to maintain the analog paging system in parallel to it. They don't have a very good digital paging system out there designed.
So someone were to actually contemplate going to a digital system and expending all the money that's necessary to create and maintain that system and still have to have an analog backup?
It wouldn't be an analog backup. It would be a live paging system that would run in parallel with the digital radio system. So you are correct. We would be spending in excess of $1 million for a radio system and still have to maintain our current system.
Now, that doesn't make any sense, does it?
No.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Upgrade backup dispatch radio equipment, pages 48 and 49. Replace tables and chairs, station number 5, pages 50 and 51. Thermal imaging cameras, pages 52 and 53. Refurbishment of training tower burn building, pages 54 and 55. Thank you, Chief. Infrastructure services, Battery Street Sanitary Sewer, pages 56 and 57. Mayor Redekamp?
So with respect to this, which is one of the projects I believe that was accelerated, yes it is, if we don't get provincial or federal funding, I presume that this will simply stay on the books for the portion that we've budgeted and we'll continue to look for other grant funding.
Mr. Walsh?
Mr. Jansen can correct me if I'm wrong, but with the Clean Water and Wastewater Fund, this was essentially guaranteed money. We just had to identify projects that fit the criteria, of which obviously Battery Street and the other two are.
Mr. Jansen, is this money in the bag already?
It, as Mayor Redekop suggested, we shouldn't count our chickens before they hatch, but the program is such that it's not competitive, so we've been communicated a maximum amount that we've used. We've been told that so long as it falls within the eligible criteria in terms of the nature, which we have consulted with them on, then we should be announced as successful. So we are counting on that with this. But to your question in terms of whether we would proceed with it or not, I think this is likely one that would not. We have a total of 3 projects that are receiving Clean Water and Wastewater Fund funding, so I think there would be a review of those projects at that time if it wasn't successful.
And just the notes say that it was originally slated for 2017-2018, so would we still fund half now and the balance in 2018, or would this be pushed back further than that? Mr. Walsh?
It would return to its normal slot in the budget.
Okay. Mayor Redekop?
Yes, and I believe that this isn't one of the projects, but whenever there's potential for regional funding, we're also applying for particularly the combined sewer overflow grants, and we've done very well. I think we were the most successful community in Niagara last year. So that will continue as well, I presume.
Yep, Mr. Jansen says yes.
Perfect.
Dover Court Road Water Main, pages 58 and 59. Dufferin Street from Central Avenue to Niagara Parkway, pages 60 and 61. Green Acres Drive upgrade, pages 62 through 64. Highland Avenue reconstruction, pages 65 and 66. Mack Street water main and sanitary replacement, pages 67 and 68. Murray Street Sanitary Sewer Replacement, pages 69 and 70. Mayor Redekop?
Obvious question. Why is there a gap between North Street and Stanton?
Through you, Mr. Chair, both the water main and sewer in that gapped area were installed in 1997.
Mayor Redekop?
Sounds like an interesting project. I suppose it was because of the condition of both. They had deteriorated and needed to be replaced. Presumably didn't have the money. Anyways, thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. Stanton reconstruction, pages 71 and 72. Wayfinding phase 2 and 3, pages 73 and 74. Mayor Redekop?
Mr. Chair, this is where I want to get my oar in the water. I want to...
What did you call the last 20 minutes?
That was just reaching my fingers.
Oh, I see. Getting the ore. Testing the waters. I see.
Just making sure it was warm enough to jump in. This, I very much support this. And I consider this to be a tandem item with the gateway feature. And I've been thinking a lot about this over the last month, I guess it's been. And I've had some discussions with a number of people in the community, including business people, some that own large-scale attractions. And there seems to be consensus among the people that I speak to that the wayfinding is very, very important. And I think we all agree on that. And that was started in 2001. It's unfortunate that it didn't move forward. But I'm thinking precisely this. I'm thinking that it would be more beneficial to the business people and those who own attractions within our community if we could move forward in a more aggressive manner with the completion of phase 2 and 3 wayfinding. Meantime, this is me backing up a bit. In the meantime, I'm thinking that the way the gateway feature fits into this is that it's a part of the overall. I'm not looking at it from a pride or identification issue. I'm looking at it as part of an identification mechanism, perhaps wayfinding. And the important aspects of the wayfinding would be where they're located and what's on them. And I think there are a number of issues that are up in the air with respect to where they're located. I've looked at, and again, I'm jumping ahead a bit, but I've looked at the proposed potential locations of these, and some of the major attractors in our town are down Sodom Road, Stevensville Road, Gorham Road, Ridgeway Road. And if these signs are located where they're proposed, they don't help those people necessarily. So that I'm thinking, I'm going to propose that.
Mayor, can I just ask a question?
Sure.
When you say these signs,
yeah,
as proposed, you're pages. Speaking to the gateway features.
I'm speaking to the gateway, to the map on page 81 that identifies
so
these.
Okay, so we're kind of discussing. I gotcha.
So I'm taking the liberty of trying to tie these all together because I believe that they are, because they're all part of a wayfinding exercise. So I'm going to propose a solution that I think covers most of what I think we're trying to accomplish, which is create the wayfinding that assists individuals that come into our community to get to where they're trying to get, which is really what the business people are most concerned about. They want to make sure, they want to know that those that get into this town know how to get to where they're going and how to get to the next place they want to go. So focus on that, move aggressively to try to complete phases 2 and 3, and defer the gateway enhanced boundary signs to 2018 for these specific reasons. There will be less pressures, I think, on the capital budget next year. If we're going to treat this as a capital budget, maybe that it should be an operating budget because the gateway or enhanced boundary signs are one time, I think. But we could sort that out. A delay of 1 year gives us an opportunity to deal with the logistics that we're going to have to deal with the MTO on. Location of these signs, what the content would be of a gateway sign or of an enhanced boundary sign, and then the installation. It would also give us the opportunity to, what I think is very important, and I've had a lot of positive comment about this, and that is getting the community to participate. When I was at the Red Ribbon Art Gala the other night, some of the artists were asking about that. They were speaking about that because we've got lots of artists, lots of designers, older people, high school students, some professionals, all of whom are quite interested in participating in this type of exercise. So that would give us an opportunity to try to get something of that nature together, get the community involved in designing what will be the welcoming sign to our community. It would also give us an opportunity to see whether there is a chance that some businesses or or organizations in the community might be prepared to assist in the financing. And I think that there, I'm pretty confident that there's some. And so I think we can accomplish a number of things, get the community actually involved in working on creating the gateway feature to our community, and kind of have this as a two-year project that flows from wayfinding, completion of what was started in 2001, through to the gateway enhanced boundary signs. And it might be that there are other locations other than what are being proposed. So that's what I'm thinking. I know that some members of council would like to go ahead with the gateway signs sooner rather than later. I know that others may agree with me, but that's kind of what I'm tossing out there. So let's
start with wayfinding phase 2 and 3, the page we're currently on. So if I hear you correctly, can we move up, Mr. Jansen and Mr. Walsh, the $100,000 currently for 2018 into 2017 and accomplish the finalization of the strategy design as well as construction rather than wait until 2018 for construction? Mr. Walsh, from a practical point of view?
The $100,000 for 2018 is the construction of Phase 3, which is our partnership with the Parks Commission on these signs. Realistically speaking, they're not going to go in 2017. By the time we hire a design consultant and meet with the NPCA, identify the locations, identify the attractions we're trying to identify, I don't think we can meet the 2017 timeframe. And that's why Phase 3 was budgeted or proposed for 2018. We can certainly move the money forward, you know, Jonathan willing, but I just offer my cautions on the timing. It may not get spent.
Okay, and to Mayor's comments, and I agree as well, by moving that money forward, then I would also be looking at then moving the gateway signage or at least half of that out, $100,000 by a year.
So this way, even if we can't get the construction in 2017, it's possible if we budget it, that if there is the opportunity, we can, and if we can't, at least we've got the money in the budget to try to move that forward as quickly as we possibly can. And then we've partially funded a gateway structure for the following year.
And we could take advantage of grant opportunities by having that $100,000.
Exactly. I think we could get ourselves better organized if we gave ourselves that time.
So the mayor has put forward that suggestion. Any speakers in opposition to moving up the $100,000 on the current page that we're on from 2018 to 2017? No? Okay, Mr. Jansen, can you note that for when we get to the end? So we will move on to Birdie Street and Concession Road Signal Rebuild, page 75 and 76. Fox. Oh. Mayor Redekop.
This is the signals?
Yes.
This is a hot issue right now for at least one of the businesses in our community that does this type of work. And I've been asked to raise the issue at the region because the region does have its own workforce that installs. They're typically the more skilled workers in terms of the installation and reconstruction of signals, traffic signals. But I'm wondering whether we know whether this $200,000 or thereabouts is something that could be matched by private contractors, because as I understand it, there are a number in Niagara that are capable of doing this.
Mr. Walsh?
I would suggest that if we were to go the private route, we don't have the capability in-house to design a signal group. We don't have the electrical capability. I don't think we have the programming capability. So in that case, we're going to have to hire a consultant to design it. There's probably $40,000. That would leave us with $160,000 for construction, and I think that's cutting it awfully tight.
So, I appreciate that. And there's a bunch of information that I still to get at the regional level. So I'm just wondering if we go, I'm content to let this go to support this year, but I'm wondering whether we shouldn't maybe be contemplating whether there are, I mean, we don't really know whether this is the best price because there's only one, this is a sole source contract, isn't it? It may be a fantastic price. It may be that the region has a very good operation, that their workforce is quite sophisticated and they're capable of doing all aspects of this work at the higher level technical level. But perhaps in the year to come, then I can follow this up and then share information with Mr. Walls, see whether there's any opportunities for us to save money in the future or not. Thank you.
So budget the money now, and then we'll see what conversations bring. Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Chair. Through you to Mr. Walsh, maybe he can answer a question that I have. If there's a possibility of extending Hagee Street in the future, where the current street that runs by Rich Products to Concession Road, is that going to cause any problems in the future? Is that something that should be taken into consideration when you're looking at replacing these lights?
Mr. Walsh, how would the extension of Hagee to Concession impact the redesign of the lights? And are we just looking at the lights, or are we looking at this as part of a larger rehabilitation of that intersection? It is a quite dangerous intersection. Addition of turn lanes, widening of the intersection?
With respect to Hagee, it is in the budget. I think it's about 5 or 6 years out now for the extension. But I think it's far enough away from the intersection that it would not affect any of the turning lanes and thus the signal infrastructure.
Councillor Butler? Thank you.
So I'm just curious, though, if Hagee Street is pushed forward to Concession Street, is there just going to be a one turning lane, or would there be two entrances, so an entrance and an exit, rather, from Concession Street?
Hagee, as far as I know, it's...
Because if Hagee is extended to Concession Street, which is not right now, and if you're coming northbound on Concession, you can turn right onto Hagee Street if it's extended through. Are you then going to be able to exit from that area and then turn left or right onto...
As far as I know, that's the proposal.
Okay.
So it would be a full turn intersection.
Have to be signalized.
Because that is also adjacent to some type of ingress or egress on the opposite side leading into, I forget what the actual name of that street is, but then it goes on to Prince of Wales Drive. Okay. Thank you, Councillor Butler. Box Road Upgrade, page 77 and 78. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Chair, to Mr. Walsh. Thank you for reclassifying this road after the traffic study was done. I'm sure that everybody in that area will be very grateful when it gets completed. In the description, it says that it will be changed from a gravel road to a surface treated road. Would that be the same surface treatment that's applied to a Winger Road?
Yes, it would be.
Yes, it will be. Okay.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Nutt. We'll go to the second part of the earlier conversation, Gateway Feature QEW. And if I heard Mayor Redekop correctly, we would consider moving $100,000 of that out to 2018. So just a swap of the funds and give us some more time to get our act together, but still leaving enough money there, which would constitute 50% to apply for some grants that we've been told in previous meetings may be eligible, and we can make a final determination in 2018. Is the balance of council consensus with that? Okay. Mr. Jansen, can you note that as well? Guide rail replacements, page 82 and 83. Ott Road at Grade Rail Crossing, pages 84 and 85. Councillor Nutt?
Through yourself to Mr. Walsh. The grade of the road, how is that going to affect drainage for the residents that I'm assuming from the description that you've written in here on what needs to be done with the Ott Road at the train crossing, we're going to be elevating the road. Does that mean there will be deeper ditches, or do you have will some type of improved drainage or revised drainage plan? Because right now I believe it's open ditch.
Mr. Walsh?
We'll be looking at the project in whole as to what's required. You'll see that the only funding right now is for engineering. So at this point, we don't know what we need.
Councilor Nutt?
Just to follow up to that, Mr. Chair. Mr. Walsh, do you know if CN will be contributing to this project at all? Or?
Through you, Mr. Chair. The CN in particular will not be contributing, but we will be applying for federal funding to offset 80% of the $150,000. So we'll be applying for $120,000 of this.
Councilor Nutt?
And lastly, will this report include any type of noise satiation features?
Mr. Walsh?
Social implications are considered part of our EA, which is ecological noise. I'm sorry, my memory fails me now, but it is part of the one of the things we look at.
Councilor Nutt?
Okay. I'm just wondering if Mr. Jansen could make a side note here that if that social aspect is going to be included, could we look at potentially putting a small amount of money aside, because the proximity of the Ott Road crossing to East Avenue to Stevensville, the train blows three times at every one of those sections, and you can hear them on East Avenue when they're at Ott Road. Because they're so close together, all three of those.
And so what would you like the money set aside for or considered for?
Well, I'd like to look possibly, and maybe we can bring this up in our subcommittee meeting, just look at doing a couple of studies at the other two crossings then, because if we're going to have it included on this one, just when I called and spoke with CN myself, they said that it's better to look at all three at once rather than satiate noise at one, and you're going to have six whistle blows still right now instead of nine.
So expand the scope of the project. Mr. Walsh?
I think Tom Cook can expand maybe a little further, but we undertook a noise study about 10 years ago on all of our crossings with respect to whistling and such, and essentially the system that's in place right now is what we have. CN and CP will not make any further changes due to safety requirements. Maybe Tom can expand a little further on that.
Mr. Cookett?
I don't have much more to add, but you are correct. They did a study, and what's there now will remain. It's hard to convince them otherwise. We've tried to ask them, or we've requested that they reduce. They would not because of safety. We could take another approach or meet with them and see if they're willing to look at those crossings. I would think to look at those crossings as part of the EA wouldn't be a lot of money. And, you know, I'd have to talk to Mr. Walsh, but we may be able to squeeze it in as part of the EA for the Ott Road.
I think that would be appreciated by Councilor Nutt to at least take a look and further those conversations.
Yeah, I'd like to at least look at it, because what I was told by CN is if we add lights and gates, they'll stop the whistle blowing. And I have had some numerous complaints from residents in that area, and if we can squeeze it in to the study, I'd greatly appreciate that. But what CN told me directly was that it has to have lights and gates for the whistles to stop. Okay.
Mayor Riddicom?
That's correct. But if we do the EA and get some information, maybe about the cost of the lights and signals, that may then give us at least something that we can address with CN, because they've been here fairly frequently, and they like to consider themselves good corporate community citizens. You met several of them at the tree planting, so yeah, we can pursue that. But it is ultimately it's a safety issue for them.
Right, and I'd just like to note that over the past couple of years with the Canadian dollar losing ground against the U.S., there have been a significant number and increase in the number of trains coming through. I mean, I sleep through it, but, you know, lots of people don't. Yeah.
Mr. Jansen, I note in the need for project description, it says, or Mr. Walsh and Mr. Jansen, compliance with standards is required by 2021, and yet we have no money budgeted for construction by that time. Is the grant funding our only source at this point, or do we have plans to start inserting some dollars to get us where we need by 2021? Mr. Walsh?
We will be updating the cost probably next year's budget at the time our EA is complete.
Okay. Thank you. Mayor Redekamp?
Just one final question. Wherever we see that there's an application that needs to be submitted by December the 23rd, we can assume that our staff is submitting an application?
Mr. Jansen, yes? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Railroad Crossing Upgrades, Phase 1, pages 86 and 87. Councilor Lubbers, did you have your hand up? No? Okay. Mayor Redekamp?
Just wondering how much we get for $200,000 with respect to all these crossings.
Mr. Walsh?
Through you, Mr. Chair. The modifications needed are minor on all of these crossings. Trimming, maybe some asphalt repairs. In sum total, it's $200,000. The good thing is, again, we'll be applying for an 80% offset, so $160,000.
So when this work is done, it will be safer for my vehicle to go fast over these rail crossings?
It's never safer to go fast.
depends on how close the train is, I suppose.
Right. Councillor Nutt.
Just a quick question through you, Mr. Chair, to Mr. Walsh. The rail line that runs behind the industrial park on in Eagle Street and runs beside the fire hall. I know that this summer CN went out very quickly and repaired the rail line down Stevensville Road, thanks to Mr. Cookett making a phone call. Do you know when the rest of that rail is going to be removed? It's already been significant amounts of it have been already, but...
No, I'm not aware. Sorry.
...2017 Road Resurfacing Program, pages 88 and 89. 2017 Bridge and Culvert Replacement, pages 90 and 91. 2018 Bridge and Culvert Replacement. Councillor Nutt?
Yep, just a quick question on page 90 on Black Creek Road. 136 meters south of the Niagara Parkway, we have a bridge and culvert replacement. I'm not sure. Do you know where on Black Creek Road the culvert is? Is it is that making reference to the culvert running from the pumping station out towards Black Creek, Mr. Walsh? Is that the one?
Through you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure exactly. It's likely a larger cross culvert under a road, though.
Could you get back to Councillor Nutt with that?
Absolutely.
Information.
Mayor Redekamp?
It's got to be the creek that runs through the new development, which is on Netherby Road, and that creek must run under Black Creek Road. I think, and that's got to be it.
This would be an existing culvert. I'll try and dig it up on my computer here.
So we'll come back to that if you flag me down, Mr. Walsh.
Okay, actually, Mr. Cook had just pointed it out on the map for me, M609C. It actually empties into
Black Creek.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Just back to 2018 Bridge and Culvert Replacement, pages 92-93. Mayor Redekamp?
Yes, with respect to the item on Gilmore Road, it's the 6th line down, 1,337 meters west of Sunset Road, and that's in the middle of nowhere. What would that...
Mr. Walsh, M370B.
Yes, I see it on the map there. It may be a municipal culvert in the middle of a farmer's field.
To accommodate the flow of one of the...
And it's likely Frenchman's Creek in that area.
Okay. Mr. Cook, it is saying correct. Okay.
So, if I might, Mr. Chair, if it's part of a municipal drain, and this may not be, but if it's part of a municipal drain, wouldn't that ordinarily be work that would be done pursuant to an engineer's report and then be allocated to landowners and the benefiting municipalities?
Mr. Walsh?
Through you, Mr. Chair. The absence of an engineer's report does not prevent us from making repairs, and you'll see later in our program we're updating the Frenchman's Creek engineer's report. The costs of that bridge replacement, yes, would be allocated to benefiting landowners at that time.
Mayor Redica?
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's Frenchman's Creek, but I wonder if we could do this. I wonder if we could just get some background information on that so that we know when we deal with this in February, we've got that information. Thank you.
Mr. Walsh, can you take a drive out there right now? We'd like to finalize that tonight. 2017 Sidewalk Repair Program, pages 94 and 95. Mayor Redica?
With respect to the part that's the sidewalk that's going to go through the municipal campus, as it's referred to, where is that approximately going to go, or do we know that yet?
Mr. Walsh?
Approximately, it will be on the north side of the building. Rick Brady and myself have to take a gander out there and determine the route for the sidewalk. It will go from the Garrison Road entrance to Municipal Center Drive along the north side of the building and hook up near the existing sidewalk at the skate park.
And am I correct that there's no intention to have a sidewalk on the south side of Garrison Road from Buffalo Road to wherever the crossing would be to the school?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions on sidewalk repair program? Councillor Nutt?
Yes. Thank you, Your Chair. Through you to Mr. Walsh. When we're talking sidewalk repair, there's a sidewalk on West Main Street down towards in the direction of Ott Road between Coral and Ott Road. The sides are exposed on it. Are we going to include, ensuring that the sidewalk being exposed like that is not a trip hazard, or how are those situations going to be addressed in our sidewalk repair? Because it's not the sidewalk itself that's eroding, but the land that the sidewalk runs through is being washed away during rains and heavier waters. And I just want to know how that's going to be addressed.
Mr. Walsh, are items like that taken into consideration, or it's just the physical condition of the sidewalk itself that we look at when we do our trips around town?
Right now, it's just the physical condition of the sidewalk itself, the landscaping around the sidewalks. When we construct them, we leave them in a state of good repair. Up after that, it's typically up to the adjacent homeowner or business. Going forward, though, you've heard me speak of the minimum maintenance standards and the potential implication of sidewalk plowing in future budgets for the entire town. There will be an expanded inspection program as well under the maintenance standards that include lands 300 millimeters, 1 foot on either side of the sidewalk.
In the meantime, can Councillor Nutt follow up with you regarding this particular situation?
It's noted already.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Nutt. We'll move into transits, 2017 transit bus stop and facility improvements, pages 96 and 97. Move into municipal drains. The mayor raises his hand so high when he turns a page, throwing me off guard. Bay Beach Drain, pages 98 and 99. Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I see there's two or three of these here, engineers' reports. And I see that the funding's coming from benefiting landowners, and we have a notice of motion from Councillor Nutt that's going to address the engineer's reports and how the town front-end financed the engineer's report until the work is done, actually done on the drain. Is this going to affect these here requests here?
The notice of motion that Councilor Nutt put forward that Council has already approved would speak to any situation where works are not scheduled for 5 years. His most recent notice of motion pertains to the Black Creek drain because we're having to go back in time to capture that. But Council has already approved the motion that if there's not work being done within 5 years, that Council would front-end the costs.
So is this going to affect it?
So your question is, does that apply to this particular drain?
We're looking at engineers' reports, but we don't know when the work's going to be done. So,
Mr. Walsh, Bay Beach Municipal Drain, can you speak to when we anticipate works to be completed?
The works to be completed will be within just a couple of years from the acceptance of the engineer's report and the expiry of all appeals to the Borden Tribunal. So typically, Councillor Nutt's motion would not affect the strain. With respect to the 50-50 funding formula, the town always fronts the cost of the engineer's reports until such time as construction is complete typically, and then we send out one bill.
Councillor Lubberts? That's good, okay.
Okay, thank you. And I guess that answers the questions for the next two. Get the same answer.
If you had the same question.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that right, Mr. Walsh?
That's correct.
Okay.
Boyer Municipal Drain, pages 100 and 101. Frenchman's Creek Municipal Drain, pages 102 and 103. Moving into waste, Councillor Nutt.
Through yourself to Mr. Walsh, when we're looking at the Frenchman's Creek Municipal Drain and we're doing that report, is that going to account for the culverts and ditching issue that I had brought to you 2 weeks ago along Gilmore Road?
The ditching issue that you brought forward is to the east of the municipal drain, so it's outside the boundary of this.
Oh, okay.
That's a separate operational issue.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Wastewater, Dominion Road, Trenchless Sanitary Sewer Rehab, pages 104, 105. Mayor Redicom?
Mr. Chair, there's a reference to partnering with the region, the City of St. Catharines. I see that we're paying the entire cost of this. What's the nature of the partnership?
Mr. Walsh?
Through you, Mr. Chair. The partnership is that the region retains an engineer. We pay our fair share or our proportional share, but the partnership goes in primarily to tendering, in that if we can put three or four projects together across the region, we do get a better price.
Mayor Redicom?
So this construction is scheduled for 2017, and this portion of Dominion Road is probably going to be reconstructed in 2018 or 19.
I believe it's been pushed back to 2018.
Well, that's the following year. So if they do a reconstruction and they have to, and they decide to pull out all the concrete road surface from days gone by, are they not going to potentially damage the sewer line?
No, in this case, the sewers are much, much deeper than the old concrete road base. This sewer was installed in the 70s, and it's structurally sound, but it has certain deficiencies which make it a great candidate for trenchless rehabilitation, which is no dig.
And the water line, I presume that there's a regional water main along here. I don't know that.
I think you may presume wrong there.
I think that may be a municipal local distribution line.
That's correct.
And we would be presumably replacing that.
It was replaced fairly recently as well.
So this may simply be a situation where the region digs out the concrete, the old concrete road, and simply confines its work to perhaps drainage and road reconstruction.
That is exactly what they're doing.
And in any event, with the work that we're doing right now doesn't constitute any type of digging. It's simply a relining of the sanitary sewer line.
There may be minor digging to
for your ingress and egress,
yeah, but there's no trenches involved.
Okay, so in 2018, we would be expecting to have any unintended sewer work.
Not looking to dig this up a second time.
Not looking to, no.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
Nye Road Sewer Shed Trenchless Rehabilitation, pages 106 and 107. Going into water, Black Creek Trenchless Water Main Rehab, 108 and 109. Goderich Water Main, Forsyth to Princess, pages 110 to 111. 2017 Water Meter Replacement Program, pages 112 to 113. Going into Parks and Facilities, Sand Domes Roof Replacement, pages 114 and 115. Town Hall Alterations, pages 116 and 117. Gibson Center Generator Replacement, pages 118 to 119. Councillor Lubertz.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I'm just curious, how old is this generator right now? Let's say in here.
Through you, Mr. Chair, it was installed in July 93.
93? And I'm just curious, I'm looking at this, it looks to me like this is a diesel engine. Four-cylinder diesel, is that correct?
Mr. Walsh, do you have the specs of the current generator?
Not have them with me, but I don't see spark plugs, so I assume it's a diesel engine.
Yeah, just by looking at it, I think you can see that it's a diesel. But my question is, I mean, a diesel will operate almost forever. I mean, we got transport trucks that'll put 1,000,000 miles on their diesel engines. And I'm not thinking that this diesel is, we're not out of power that often. I think our last major power outage was 2008 when we had that freak snowstorm. How many hours is on this engine itself, this here generator?
Mr. Walsh, I don't know if you have the specifics to that, but what has led to this being a capital budget request in the current year?
Generally, it's a significant increase in maintenance over the last couple of years. It was originally slated for 2020. It's been advanced 4 years. This generator is critical to our emergency operations, and any failure would be to the severe detriment of the town.
So to Mr. Or Councillor Lubert's points, has anything been happening that has advanced the life cycle replacement of this?
Sorry, Councillor Passero, can you repeat that?
Is this one undersized for our current use? What exactly has led to the increased maintenance, given Councillor Lubert's comments that we should have been able to get a few more years out of this?
As he correctly states, diesels run forever. I think the problems are with the electrics on it.
Okay. Councillor Lubertz?
Well, maybe we can follow this up later with Mr. Walsh. I'd like to see what it is that is the increase in spending. If it's electrical components, I understand electrical components. If they're not using them, they could seize up and corrode and stick and not work properly. And that's why on the newer generators, we have exercise times when we run them through their cycle so that we know that they're working properly when they're needed. And I'd like to know how much it is that we're spending on these repairs. Obviously, they're more frequent, but is it worth the $85,000 to put a new unit in there the same thing is going to happen. They sit there for a long period of time, and if the components aren't working because they're mechanical, they'll do the same thing as this. So I'm wondering if maybe looking at another alternative at this time might be more appropriate than replacing, because we're talking lifestyle cycles of an engine like this. I don't know that it's years. It's more mileage or hours. And that's why I'd like to know how many hours is on the machine, and maybe we can work at it that way instead of thinking of it as a time.
Okay.
Or
Mr. Jansen,
rather than years.
Is this particular capital work slated to be in the first phase of our tendering or the second phase of our tendering? Second phase?
We're not going to be approving it until the end.
Yes.
This is a preliminary item. Yeah, as noted, there's a section on your attributes page that shows whether any item is preliminary or general. This is preliminary.
Where am I looking for that? Okay. So on the right above the photo, preliminary. Okay, so this is preliminary approval. Would we be able to get Councillor Lubbers that information prior to us adopting the bylaw for this capital budget item, Mr. Walsh?
Absolutely.
Okay. Councillor Lubbers?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And not just myself. I'd like everybody to get that information, because
yep.
I think it's important. To me, this is what we need to look at. It's more how many hours is on this unit rather than a life cycle in years.
Duly noted.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lubbers. Councillor Nutt?
Thank you. Just to follow up on my colleague's point about how many hours are on this, maybe we could also be supplied with some background information in regards to how often it's disaster recovery tested or emergency response testing. Is that done monthly? Is it done bi-yearly? Just to help give us some more background information on the testing that we are doing on our equipment. I'd be interested to know that, just not for this one, but for other generators we have around the...
I can answer that right now. I know all of our generators are exercised weekly.
Thank you, Councillor Nutt. We'll go on to Leisureplex Condenser Tower Replacement, pages 120 and 121. Leisureplex Scoreboard Replacement, pages 122 and 123. Town Hall Condenser Tower Replacement, 124, 125. 2017 Accessibility Upgrades for AODA, pages 126 and 127. Municipal Park Gazebo Rehabilitation, pages 128 and 129. Councillor Lubbers?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question. Looking at what we have here and reading what has taken place over the years, and especially the comments about the would-bes, I don't know how you repair a would-be damage. And if this is happening over a period of time, I'm thinking maybe we should look more at replacing instead of repairing, because it's been repaired several times, been sustained several times, and now we're going to spend another $30,000 on more repairs. And I don't know, you know, with my experience in the construction business, I don't know that it would be much more than $30,000 to replace a gazebo.
Mr. Walsh, pros and cons, repair versus replacement, and what went into the decision to repair?
Knowing how Mr. Hutton operates, this is one of his budget requests, is that he always looks for the most efficient method, both in the short term and the long term. I have full confidence if Mr. Hutton says we can repair it by selectively replacing beams and lintels throughout the structure, then we can do that.
Councillor Lubbers?
Yes, thank you very much. And thank you very much, Mr. Walsh. I understand that and I get that. But my thoughts are maybe we should take a look at what would it cost to replace it. Because read what it says. We've been doing this for many years. How much have we been spending over many years? And we're going to continue to be spending it just to save it? Or is it time like a life cycle? you know, we've been doing this for over 20 years. So is the life cycle done? Maybe we should, as a council, consider replacing it.
And Mr. Walsh, could we ask?
New, and then we start the life cycle all over again.
Mr. Walsh, could we ask Mr. Hutton for not a thorough report, but just some additional comments for our consideration, just noting that this is also up for preliminary approval?
What I will do is get an estimate for replacement.
Thank you very much. Mayor Redekop?
I'd be interested in hearing Mr. Hutton's comments as well. I know Mr. Hutton and I tend to agree with Mr. Waltz that he's quite frugal, but we don't know what the cost would be to replace it, but I'd like to know what his rationale is so he can do that in a couple of sentences, I think.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Thank you, Councilor Lubberts. Ott Road Baseball Lighting Replacement, pages 130 and 131. Councilor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question. I didn't see it in here unless I missed it, but this obviously is going to be all LED lighting. Is that correct?
Mr. Walsh?
I can't answer that. I assume it would be, but I'm not sure if LED can provide the power that we're looking for here.
If not, let me know. I will try to find. Yeah.
Not be LED. It might be one of those gas.
Yeah.
There is a comment that says they will be more energy efficient, but it doesn't speak to the type of fixture.
Okay.
Mr. Walsh, if you could just circulate that to council. 2016 Greenwood Cemetery Surface Treatment, pages 132 and 133. Mayor Redekop.
Can we just assume that this would be bundled in whatever the road resurfacing contract is?
You made the correct assumption, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Going into fleets, 2017 building inspection vehicle, pages 134 to 136. 2016 parks pickup truck, pages 137 to 138. And lastly, 2016 water wastewater pump, pages 139 and 140. Always great to end on a high note. Councilor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Again, just out of curiosity, and when I'm reading this here, and this is the pump that we're using if there's an excess amount of sewer in our systems, and then we have to pump out of those lines and into the creeks or wherever we have to pump.
Yes.
And it's 17 years beyond its scheduled useful life. So obviously it's been here for more than 20 years, I would think.
In 85.
And to have 765 hours on it, I don't think that that's a whole lot of hours. Not that it shouldn't be replaced, but just to consider what it's been pumping into our creeks and ditches. I know there's a whole lot of people in the town that are concerned about, you know, pumping raw sewages into creeks and everything. And I'm just curious as to how many gallons an hour or how many gallons a minute this would pump, because over a 20-year period, it doesn't seem like we really pump that much raw sewage into our water systems.
And Mr. Walsh, could we ask for a very quick explanation and some details from either Mr. Turner or Mr. Bhutan on this? Prior to preliminary approval?
I can get that information on the capacity of it, but I would like to add it's also used not only in pumping sewage, it's also used on some of our larger water main breaks where you're sucking mud out. I do know that when this item was proposed by Mr. Bhutan that I questioned why we're replacing it as well, and this pump has been rebuilt three times already. And it's at the point where parts on the pump are failing that cannot be rebuilt anymore.
So this has been a very difficult 765 hours.
Yeah.
I'm not questioning replacing it. I want to make that clear. I'm just saying, I just wanted to make the comment. 765 hours, we didn't pump a whole lot of stuff into our creeks and waterways.
Yeah. And I think to Mr. Walsh's point, this is utilized for other purposes.
I just want to get that across to the public. That's what I want to do. It's not... I agree with replacing it, but
absolutely.
I don't think we're pumping all that much in it was kind of a relief for myself when I read it. I thought, geez, can't be that much.
Thank you, Councillor Lubberts. That brings us to the end of our capital worksheets, which brings us back to our recommendation, which will need some revision from Mr. Jansen, I believe, based on some decisions we made tonight.
I believe the changes net to zero for the 2017 budget. We deferred
the 100,
100 away and 100 into 17. So it is correct as it reads.
Okay. In council. Okay. Mayor Redekop?
Mr. Chair, wouldn't we... So there's no change, I don't think, to Appendix 1. Change would be to Appendix 2, but shouldn't we make some reference to the fact as amended? It's 2 as amended.
Madam Clerk, even though the dollar amounts are not changing, how do we incorporate the changes that we contemplated tonight?
Thank you, Chair. I was looking at that. If I'm understanding things correctly, it is Appendix 2, as the Mayor has said. Where the amendment should be addressed. It's odd because the motion is to defer approval, but I still think it would be appropriate to capture the amendment to Appendix 2 as that forms part of the motion. So my most efficient thought on that is that an amendment be put forward that would say that recommendation number 1 be amended by inserting, quote, as amended, end quote, after Appendix 2, to reflect the change to the wayfinding signage and gateway feature budget amounts.
Removed. I'll move that.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. So that amendment is on the floor for comments or questions. Councillor Lubberts?
The amended budget is on the floor?
Just the amendment.
Just the amendment? Yep. All right. Okay, no, go ahead.
Okay. So all in favor? So that carries. So then the recommendation then is that Council approves the 2017 preliminary capital budget of $2.137 million as per Appendix 1 to report number CBC 01-2017 and direct staff to submit the bylaw for Council approval on December 5th, 2016. And further, that Council defers approval of the balance of the 2017 capital budget of $14,107,640. Per Appendix 2 as amended to report number CBC 01-2017 to February 27, 2017 with the consideration of the 2017 General Levy Budget Bylaw, and further that Council approves the exclusion of amortization from the 2017 operating budget as required by Ontario Regulation 284.09. Comments to that recommendation. Councillor Lubberts and then Councillor Nutt.
Yes, just to further up on my comments, regarding the generator. If we approve this here, we'll still get the report forward before we approve the generator in case we decide that we'll take the generator out and keep it.
Yes, this will come back in bylaw form, so we still have the opportunity to make any changes at that point. And Mr. Walsh has assured us that we'll get those pieces of information that we were seeking. Councillor Nutt?
I just actually have a question of the clerk before we vote on this. There's two items, ORBL17 and HIGH14. I'm not really comfortable voting on those, and I wonder, should I wait to the bylaw and ask those to be removed, or can we remove them right now, vote on everything else, and then I can abstain from voting, declaring a conflict on those two items? One, my brother runs the baseball league that plays at Ott Park, and my parents live on Highland Avenue, so I'd be more comfortable declaring those two conflicts. Councillor.
Just to further the comment.
Councillor Lubberts, give me 1 second just to ask the clerk. What's the best way to approach that, Madam
Clerk? Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry. I'm not sure where those items are listed, so I'm not sure where Councillor Nutt's referring to.
How about if Councillor Nutt tells us what pages they're on and the specific items?
So they were...
If you have a conflict, that should be noted, and then they'll have to be dealt with separately.
So the first one is on page 6566, and the second one was on page 130 and 131, and I didn't speak to either of the two issues purposely.
So Councillor Nutt has two. The first is Highland Avenue Reconstruction, project number HI-14 on pages 65 and 66. And secondly, ORBL-17, Ott Road Baseball Lighting Replacement, found on pages 130 and 131.
Apparently conflict, and you need to tell the clerk what the basis of the conflict is.
Right. I want to declare the conflict. First off, my parents live on Highland Avenue, so I'm not really comfortable voting on that. In the works area section, and on my brother runs one of the baseball leagues that plays out of Ott Road. So I
get paid?
No.
No.
It's strictly volunteer.
No pecuniary interest.
Okay, brothers just, don't count anyways under the Municipal Act. So.
Yeah. You're, okay.
Yep.
So
it's up to you.
Well, I'm looking for guidance from the clerk.
I don't,
so.
Yeah, I don't think you need to declare a conflict if there's no money. So, but on Highland, if your parents live there and you don't want to vote on it, that's
fine.
So then, yes. So I'll move that we remove that one item on
Thank
Highland
you.
Avenue and deal with it separately.
Okay, so so the original recommendation, and we're going to say save and accept the Highland Avenue reconstruction as found on pages 65 and 66. Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just to further on that, and Councillor Nutt, I appreciate and I understand the conflict of interest, but we went through this in the last term of council, and councillor at the time, Steckley, declared a conflict on an issue on Parkdale where he lived, and they were redoing Parkdale. After further investigating the Conflict of Interest Act, it was brought up, and he found that on budget items, he didn't have to declare the conflict, so he withdrew his conflict. Now,
That's
you can go ahead
to the technical letter of the law.
I just wanted to bring that.
Councillor Nutt is more comfortable with declaring it just probably for optics.
I understand that, Mr. Chair.
Yep.
I understand that, Ms. Councillor Nutt, but I just wanted to bring that to your attention. You might want to further look into the Conflict of Interest Act because I don't know that you would have a conflict.
There's no harm in declaring it.
No, I know that, and I appreciate that, but I just so you understand, I don't think you have to. I appreciate that you want to and you're going to. And that's you can do that, but from my experience,
I'll just
I don't
declare
think
it
you
right
have
now
the
and
conflict.
I'll talk to my lawyer afterwards.
You can look at it. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for the information, Councilor Lubitz.
Okay, so back to the recommendation: save and accept Highland Avenue reconstruction. All in favor? Unopposed? That is carried, and we will go back. That council defers. Is Highland preliminary? Where are we taking that from?
General.
Okay. So recommendation that council defers approval of the Highland Avenue reconstruction portion of the 2017 capital budget per Appendix 2 to February 27, 2017 with the consideration of the 2017 general levy budget bylaw. And that's specifically to the Highland Avenue reconstruction. Comments or questions? None. All in favor? That's carried. I will turn the chair back over to Mayor Redekop.
Thank you very much, Councillor Passero. That was very very well done, very efficient, and very effective, and we haven't spent the money yet, but we're getting excited about spending it all. That takes us to the date of the next meeting, which is December the 7th, when we will review the water, wastewater operating budget and user fee analysis, to be followed on January 11th by the library and EDTC board budgets, and January 25th, the general levy operating budget and assessment analysis. On January the 25th, if necessary, February the 1st, 2017, to finalize matters. And at this point, I'll accept a motion to adjourn. Councillor Nutt, all those in favor? That is carried.